There we go. You feel better now.
Just caught up on my text messages.
All right. Comedy mixed with
is my
film
business.
Noir mixed with action, and the action is not compromised. People die. People get broken arms. People get punched in the face. Mm. And here we are laughing at this transgressive behavior. And I kind of like that.
Kiddo.
Talk about presenting that, doing
it's
it,
developing
it. It's
funny because at the moment people sort of are talking to me as if, because they've heard it's a comedy and whatever, but there's something about the style of the advertising, I suppose, because it's retro in a way, that they're sort of speaking in terms of this being like a sweet comedy. I just can't wait till they see it. Because there was definitely days on this set where Ryan and I are looking at each other going, I think we're going to go to hell. If we do this scene, we're going to hell. So
you did, and you will.
Possibly, yes. But we'll see how we go.
So talk more about that, developing the actual humorous action stuff closely with Ryan, because you seem to be on the same wavelength in terms of
A lot of that is like a pure connection that just happens naturally. You know, there's no mathematics to it. We don't have to think about it. You know, we established really early when we were reading the script, right, that the characters had a very similar rhythm, so that we would have to make sure that we were harmonic to each other in scenes, but not on the same, you know, in the same sonic hole, you know. So we said that and then never mentioned it again, never had any other conversations about it. We just, every time we came to a scene, we just found ways to, you know, be in the same scene together, you know, harmonizing, but, you know, from different perspectives. So, you know, Ryan is a cineast. He is, you know, he has a knowledge of the history of film, you know, so... If you're seeing things in his performance that feel like it, you know, it stretches between Harold Lloyd and Gene Wilder, then you're seeing that, you know, and he knows where he's going with that stuff, you know. That's what I really love about working with him, man, because, you know, as funny as he is, and he really makes me laugh. He just genuinely, you know, his humor is my sort of humor, you know. But he is a serious insect, you know. He approaches the job really seriously. He loves it. He studies it. He thinks about it, you know. He has a perspective on everything you're about to do. And that's great, man. I dig that.
You're in some of the most tender moments in the film, especially when you're acting with... sorry, I've forgotten her name.
Anne Gowrie,
yeah. When you're acting with her. And we really almost kind of see a backstory come out of you, you know, the melancholic thing. And you've obviously thought a lot about the backstory of this character. Can you describe how you approach that, giving this character
kind of the first thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to dislocate him. So he's obviously from the East Coast, you know. And I've always thought that he had quite a long service history. And in my mind, he'd sort of finished his services in... work with the services in San Diego. You see little hints of that, like in the place where he lives, you know, where some people might have 10 of one particular item, he has one, you know. Mm-hmm. His shelves are very sparse, and it's very organized, and he can get from his bedroom to the front door, and everything that he needs is on that path. He never has to take a step back, you know. So you just see little hints of who he was in the past. I think he's an immensely sad man, you know. Reaching the sort of age he is and still having that one fundamental where he just wants to feel like that he's useful, you know. But I think he also recognizes that whatever he's lacking in certain areas of sort of emotional connection, that Holland March is in a much, much worse situation than him, you know. So it's funny because you have those moments where in somebody else's film, there would be moments of sort of patriarchal sort of connection, you know, but he can't quite go there because he doesn't really know what to do, you know. So he ends up treating the little girl straight like another man, you know. Okay, so you ask him a question, whatever. Well, hope he'd be okay, and then just leaves her sitting in a field in the middle of the night, you know, because he doesn't know what else to do.
And you had an actress there that you could really do that with, didn't you?
She was a great actress, and Gary's really, really good.
What makes a child?
I think last night we were at a Q&A and sitting there with Joel Silver and Shane Black and Ryan and myself, and they said, what did she bring to the set? And I said, I think she brought maturity. Yeah. And nobody disagreed.
And she was the only one.
It shows in the film. It really shows in the film. I agree with him. I really love that, those little tender moments between you and her, and you pretty much leaving her in that field. But it shows your character. It really fit. And I've seen you in so many movies, but I really love this character of yours.
Oh, cool.
This one. And how much of some of that is you, and some that isn't?
But that's, you know, that's one of those questions. You can apply that to any sort of role you do. I mean, you're obviously always going to bring your own sensibilities to everything that you do, you know. It's very difficult to make that division, you know, once you've done a piece, you know. But I didn't want to make him, you know, I wanted to leave him a little bit lost, you know, and I wanted, you know, so in moments like that, like the talking with the girl and everything, it's incomplete because, as we said, he doesn't know where to go, you know. And he goes through this experience, and, you know, you see him kind of battling every time alcohol is mentioned through the course of the movie. You see him sort of like, you know, just making it a little sort of like that. There's some strain involved, and it's never emphasized, but you sort of feel it. And, you know, his solution at the end of this story is to simply go and get a drink, you know. So he's a very damaged person. I'm not sure he's got the, you know, the roadmap forward just yet in his life.
But,
you know.
Ask for the sequel.
Well, you know, man, every film I've ever been on where people talk about sequels, we've never made a sequel. So, like, you know, it's like almost from the second conversation I've had with Joel Silver, who's already talking about a second story, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, in a very hard market, you know, you're going out against some like Angry Birds, and you have, you know, other sequels around you or whatever. Does a film like this, does it really make a splash? Who knows? We'll see.
It's kind of programming in a way.
Yeah, I mean, very definitely, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like... it's one of those movies that's very hard to explain in a way why people will have a good time until they've actually seen it. When they've seen it, then they want to talk about it with their friends and tell their friends about it and stuff, you know, but actually getting to see it in the first place, that might be tricky.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, I'm with NPR, I'm doing a profile of Shane Black.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me about him? What? How would you describe his style and him as working with him?
Shane's a very complicated fellow, you know. And he's going to have his reasons behind everything that you know, he's written, you know. Sometimes it's helpful to ask for those reasons, and sometimes it's just not. but, you know, the very first time we met, I actually was planning on turning the movie down. You know, it got sent to me, I read it, and I really liked it, and then I was kind of given a sort of a list of possibilities of who else would be in the film. And I went, oh, actually, okay, sorry, I didn't think it was going to be that kind of comedy. I thought it was something else. So don't, you know, I said to my agent, don't express any interest. And he said, man, Shane's already on the plane. I went, what? Yeah, as soon as you said that you liked it, Shane got on the plane. He's flying to Australia. He'll be there in the morning. Oh, Jesus wow. Christ. So I thought, okay, what am I going to do? I thought, all right, I have him over to my place. I won't meet him at a restaurant. So I'll bring him to my place. I'll get him a drink, right? And then, you know, I'll cook him a steak, be very, you know, simple and personal, and then I'll just let him know that I don't want to do the film, you know. So I had my plan. He comes in, hey, Shane, how are you, man? Can I get you a drink? I don't drink. Fuck off, man. That's most of my fucking plan. Most of my plan requires you to be drinking now. It's like this. So what do you mean you don't drink? And he goes, I have an aversion to alcohol, you know. You know what they say, one drink leads to handcuffs. And I was like, oh man, this isn't going to go well, but that was funny. Said, okay, look, I've got something I want to say to you. And he goes, well, I've got something I need to say to you. Can I go first? I went, okay, so you go first. And he goes, Ryan Gosling. I went, oh, okay, how do you like your steak? And our night got back on track, you know. So,
and he does eat steak.
He does eat steak, yes.
So the day was saved.
How was working with Kim Bates in your life? You know, because you did LA Confidential.
Yeah, you know, it's funny though, because, you know, the relationship we had on LA Confidential was so intimate. You know, the scenes we had to do were so intimate, and we connected so deeply. And I loved her, you know, and you know, I still do. But we haven't really kept that in touch. You know, we worked out when we were sitting there talking that we hadn't actually seen each other for over 10 years.
Wow.
Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. And it's funny because it was great to work with her, but it's not the same thing, you know what I mean? It's not like we're connected in the same way we were in that film, so we never really got to do that stuff, but it was great to talk to her.
In some ways, she's almost like in a different movie, providing material for the MacGuffin that is the plot of this film.
Right.
And so that interaction is sort of arm's length.
Hmm.
And
yeah, so it's very different from what we had before.
I mean, I would have liked to have her more drawn into the story, but I guess it wouldn't make sense in terms of plot.
Yeah. It was nice seeing her, though.
What do you think setting the movie in the 70s brought to it, that if it had been modern day?
Well, I think that's the most important thing of this film, and I know we call it a comedy, but you know what Shane's really done is he's reached back in a time to a time in history where certain decisions were made in the United States of America, which totally corrupted the future, you know, and we're still paying for that now. So I think that's why this is it's more important than a comedy, you know, because it takes that very serious situation and then, you know, puts an absurd world around it. But you know, while we're laughing, there's still quite a bit to think about, you know. When people make statements that were 100% solid gold statements at the time, you know. Detroit is powering along, so is the United States of America. And when everybody knows the truth of that situation right now, it's funny, but it's kind of tragic at the same time. You know?
Was there a scene that was actually hard to shoot because you were always like laughing and all the takes were just like...
Probably about 70% of the movie. We had one point in time we had Sunset blocked off, you know, and all we have to do is drive down Sunset, we stop in front of a billboard, and Ryan describes what's on the billboard. You know, we're making the film for a budget, so we don't actually have a billboard. You know, we just have like a point in the sky that we're both supposed to look at. You know, so, and you know, in the movie, the billboard's got something on it, right? But when we're shooting it, there's nothing there. And it's really up to what Ryan says as to what I think is on the billboard. You know? Yeah. My God, man. 12 takes of him riffing on German spank movies. And the amount of words he came up with, which sounded like German for asshole, but had nothing to do with that, or German. He just makes me laugh, that kid, you know. So we're doing this, we're doing it over and over, and he keeps cracking me up, you know. And, you know, about the Scheisenhuser, whatever, he just keeps going on about it. And you got Joel Silver, right? Walks out in the middle of Sunset, you know. He's like, I've got the entire Sunset Boulevard blocked off so we can make a movie. Not tonight, guys! Just stick to the goddamn script! He walks off. I turn to Ryan and say, so are we going to do the script? He goes, there's just no chance we're going to do that. And you just, you know, you just hear, you know, Joel, because he's got the headphones on, he's 100 meters away, he goes, oh my God! So, there was one beautiful night, actually, when Joel, because he's, you know, he's obviously had a massive career in making movies, and he really knows how to do it, man. He really knows how to produce a film, you know, he's all over every aspect of it, you know, creatively, but also business-wise, which is, you know, old-school producer, you know. And he wanted this particular media company to come to the set to do a piece. And Ryan didn't want that particular company to come to the set.
Gotcha.
You know? So he comes up to me, I'm standing next to Ryan, he goes, Russell, you gotta help me with this. You gotta explain to the kid, you know, why we need this, you know. I said, Joel, I'm doing whatever the kid wants. And he's like, oh no, 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 you can't do that to me. You can't. And he does this thing like, guys, what you gotta understand? It's all about eyeballs. All right? Our life is about eyeballs. You just need eyeballs, okay? We get this company, they come to the set. eyeballs. They put it on their computer thing, their internet, their website, whatever it's fucking called. Eyeballs. Other people see that. They comment about it. They send it to their friend. Eyeballs. Eyeballs here. Eyeballs there. Eyeballs. It's just fucking physics. He's an amazing man. He's such good company.
So, did the media company come to you?
Nope.
Nope.
But that's the great thing is, like, you know, Ryan's not making an arbitrary decision. He's not, like, it's a thing. It's a certain thing. It's about a certain sense of old-fashioned honor. So I'm backing him on that. And ultimately, Joel will always back people on that. Shane will back people on that. That's why we work together so simply, you know. Here are four people that come to this job with quote-unquote reputations, right? You get four guys like that together on a set who are simply passionate about their work, who love the cinema. And we work together so easily because we're all there for the right reason, which does sort of make you wonder, the people that get to apply these things to you and these handles to you, what the fuck is their problem? That they simply don't understand that, you know, if you want to make a movie, you got to put some love into it, man.
See, one of the things that I really have always respected about you is how you support your colleagues on a movie set. And I remember watching, almost with a tear in my eye, the background material for Gladiator. And here we are 16 years later, and it still resonates because you were the guy who was working with Joaquin to empower him to do a performance that ended up being nominated for an Oscar. It's working together that makes the difference.
It's always that way. You know, and I quite often would say that, you know, part of my position on a film set is that, you know, I'm the entertainment director on the cruise, you know. I'm in a privileged position, you know. I look at the fact, you know, if I'm the lead actor, then, you know, there's an acting department the same way as there is a makeup department or a camera department or whatever. And part of my job is to check the temperature of everybody who's on that in that cast, you know, and just make sure that they're in a comfortable place, you know. Or if they're just naturally uncomfortable, is that going to help us or not? And if it's going to help us, fine, be that way, you know. But, yeah, that's part of the gig, you know. It's that sort of, you know, and that comes from coming from theatre, I think, you know, because the ensemble, the temperature of the ensemble has such a great effect on what you're doing in theatre, you know. You know, like Robin Hood, for example, William Hurt comes to the set and everybody's like, oh, he's kind of freaking out. He's a bit, you know... intense, you know.
He's insecure too.
So I go over and I talk to him, and you know, I realize he simply just wants to know what we're doing, you know. So I start to talk to him about his character. He didn't realize his character was, you know, an actual historical character of great importance, you know. And so I just started to go into my trailer and bring him pages and pages and pages of research and stuff and things to think about and things to talk about. We had about a 25-30 minute conversation in a car park, you know. Now, William Hurt is somebody who has a reputation. William Hurt on the set of Robin Hood is fantastic. You know, on a daily basis, he's inspiring to the other people that are around him. He's ready to go. He's into it, you know, and he's giving his best performance. Because somebody got to him when he first arrived and showed him how much we all cared about what we were doing. And he can get into that, you know. It's a real simple thing, man. But it's not something that takes any effort from me whatsoever. It's just a natural place, you know. Just as it was when I, you know, directed a film. It's a natural thing for me to step into that situation. So.
And you're talking about the diviner.
What's that?
The diviner.
The water diviner.
So
did
that's
you see it?
Yeah. I thought it was quite a moving piece of work. So it just...
Cool.